Okay, so we're on Daf Chav Chet today. I'll begin on the Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amud Beis 27b, page 54. So Manitin, Amrav Zchari ben Akatzav. Zchari ben Akatzav says, now some say Katzav is a butcher, but either way, he's a Kohen. He says, Ma'on hazeh, Ma'on is a Lashon Shavua. So either Ma'on refers to the Beis HaMikdash, he's taking Shavua by the Beis HaMikdash, or Ma'on is one of the seven heavens, he's taking Shavua by that. So he's in Yerushalayim when the army is there, and we said that there's a presumption that the woman has been violated, unless they're Eidim, but the husband can't be an aid. So Hamon is a lozaza yadami toch yadi. He says, he takes the lashon shvua, her hand never left my hand, from the time the goyim entered Yerushalayim, they left. So Amrulo, in adami yadatzmo, a person can't give aidas concerning himself. So either it means ishto kegufo, so in other words, it's about her, but ishto kegufo, it's like the Zelbazach, the way we'd say, or the other way is to say that he's so intimately involved with the benefit from it, it's like made latzmo. So Mela, he's a Kohen, so now he's prohibited having relations with her. So let's see the Gemara, four lines from the bottom. So Gemara, Tana Torah Nebraisa, Be'afal Pichein, Yichal Abayit B'chatzeiro. Notwithstanding the fact that she was prohibited to him, he designated a house in the chatzir where he lived for her to stay. In other words, so she's going to be living like right next door. Ukshi yotza barosh baneha. When she would leave the chatzir, she would be at the head of her children. He says ukshi nechneset b'sof baneha. When she entered the chatzir, she's behind the children, meaning she didn't want to be alone with him in the chatzir. So there's always like a whole clutch of people together. So when she's leaving, she's the first one to exit and the kids follow. When she enters at the end and the kids enter first. So anyway, that's the way it is with her. Now, the Gemara says, Baye, Baye. So Baye poses the following question. Mahu la'asot begrusha kein? Would the halacha by grusha be the same? If a Kohen divorced his wife, could he live in the same chatzah with her? Here, we saw in the Braisa that Reb Zchari ben Akatzav, who's a Kohen, was living with his wife, even though she was had a din with Shvuya, so she's prohibited on him. But could a Kohen who divorces his wife also live in the same katzer with her? So the Gemara says, Hatam hu div Shvuya hikilu, aval hachalo. I could say that Shvuya is different. In other words, there are more leniencies by Shvuya because it's just the possibility she was violated. It's not definitely she was violated. So I can with that. Odilma Loshno, maybe there's no difference and they could all stay happily in the chatzir together. So together, I mean, in a separate premises, but they're in the same chatzir. So Tashma, we learn, the Gemara brings a proof on the following Bryce at the Tanya. Now this Machloket Rishonim had to learn the following sugya. So first I'll learn the way the Bali Tos will learn and then I'll lean that or I'll give you a different shot from the Ran. So all brought down in the art school. So he said, but we'll see Tosos, we'll see. So Tashma, the Tanya, we learn in the Bryce. So here it's not talking about a Kohen, a man divorces his wife, if she remarries, she shouldn't be in the same shchuna with him. Now, shchuna, the way the Bali Tos would understand, are like three houses near one another. That's a shchuna. So shchuna is like a very small little area. So if a person's Megarish at Ishto, so she can't live in the same shchuna with him. So the Gemara says on the top line, thing with the Braisa, Maya Kohen, and if he was a Kohen, and even if she didn't remarry, Lo Taduri Moba Mabui. In other words, he divorced her, she shouldn't live in the same Mabui, which is a larger area. And then so the way the Bali Tos would take it is like this, that if a person does Gerushin, so the Chumrah of Gerushin will be enough to inhibit him from having relations with her. So therefore, she can even live in the same shchuna, in the same three-house area with him. She's an eshadish, that's exactly right. So it means like there's like it's instilled in a person, you know, not to have relations with an eshadish, but we don't want to, you know, keep them, you know, but they could be relatively close. Mia Kohen, but if he's a Kohen, and he divorced her, but she didn't remarry, lo tadurim o b'mavui. She shouldn't live with him. The Mabui is a much larger area because the way the Bali Toso take it, there it's not as chamur a transgression. In other words, the first case with the married woman, like you were saying, that's adultery. So that's the din in nefashot. So there, the person, you know, is somewhat, trained on guard not to do it. But here, where it's just with the Kohen is asur in his grusha, in a grusha, so it's not as chamor in the person's mind, so we want to keep it further away. And then the Bryce says, "Miyak far katan zayamas tevemut far katan idon kishkuna." So here, far katan, according to the Bali Tosfot, we'll have to say that it's a small village, but very dead, like nobody's going back or forth. So then, that was, they said far katan is like a shkuna, and Mamela, if he was a Kohen and he divorced the wife, so they can't live in the Kfar Katan together. All right, now that's the way the Bali Tosu explain it. Let's tap Tosos quickly. And again, the Mabui, remember, is like the alleyway, and we had this in Erevin, and then there are Chatserot that open into the Mabui, and then there are homes in each Chatser. So it's a larger area. The Kevin to Pnuyahin, since she's not married in the case that we're talking about here, Kile, so he doesn't think it's so terrible if he would have relations with her. So therefore, we got to keep her further away. Avalim Nisei, but if she remarried, Ain't Sriklarchik, Elekde Shkuna. But if she remarried, so now she's a married woman, she only has to be a Shkuna away. Dainush Sosha Batim, that's three homes. So it's more chamur. And then the next Tosos, Kfar Katan Nidon Kishkuna, Vitama, the Pisha Im Ben Eda Mitsuyim Sham. Nobody's there, it's like dead. Baragil Yoter, Lavoetla, Vidaf Kfar Katan, about Kfar Ben Oni Lo. So Kfar Katan, we would treat like a Shkuna. So whatever is permissible, Shkuna is permissible, Kfar Katan. But the last halacha, if he's a Kohen, can't live with her in a Mabui. So certainly in the same shkuna, certainly not. Now, the weakness with this pshat is when the Gemara says a kfar katan is like a shkuna, so the Bali Tosfos have to bend over backwards to explain how a small village is like a shkuna, which is like three homes. So the Ran learns differently. He learns that a shkuna is larger than an area of a mabui. So shkuna is a large piece of the city, according to the Ran. So then, the way we'll understand the sugya, according to the Ran, if a man divorces his wife and then she remarries, we have to keep them really far away. Here it's like the same idea, but reversing the svara. In other words, in Achinami it's more chamor, but as a result of it being more chamor, I have to keep them further away. I don't want to see them transgress, so I have to keep them further away. In other words, she's married, I got to keep them further away because it'd be a disaster if they had relations. So therefore, she can't even live in the same shkuna, which is an area larger than a mabui. But then on the Brisa says in Chafetam and Aleph, the way the Ran will learn, if he's just a Kohen and he divorced the wife, but she didn't remarry, so she can't live in the same mabui with him. That's the same halacha as before, but it means it's not as chamur because the transgression is not as chamur. So according to the Ran, the more chamur the transgression, the more we keep him further away. According to the Bali Tosfot, the more chamur the transgression, the closer we keep them. We'll say again, repeat. Okay. Yeah, but it's not din in a fashot, he doesn't get executed for it. So it's more chamur with that. So the more chamur the avera is, the more chamur the avera is, the further we keep them away. And then, but the strength of the Ran's pshat is the next line, imayak far katan, if it's a small village, the yamasa ba'amut far katan, don't kishkuna. Whereas a far katan is like the same size as a shkuna, so it gets the same din. Okay, that would be the way the Ran heard. All right, I'm going to go further on the Gemara. Somebody has questions. Say again, repeat. He didn't want to divorce her. He was in love with her. What? Can't be with her, but he'd rather be. I don't know. Right, in other words, he just can't have relations with her. We'll say again, repeat. So, well, here's the thing. So the Gemara doesn't say Mepurish whether he divorced or not. L'chora, I thought that he didn't divorce her. Let me see what the article says on this. One second. Let me just take a quick look. One second. Yeah, it just says that he couldn't have relations with her. Yeah. So if that's the case, and if she's still married to him, then she's entitled to truma. And he's entitled to truma. Okay, then that's the case. All right, I don't know why he didn't divorce her. I assume that's the only one, that's the way I'm thinking. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So now the Gemara says on line 3, now, if let's say people get divorced and now somebody's going to have to move out of the neighborhood, who's going to move out of the neighborhood? That's it, right? We said, like, let's say let's say he's a Kohen and he can't live with her in the same mabui. So somebody's got to move. Who's going to move? This is Tashma. So the Gemara brings the proof to time. We learned the Braisa. She's moving out, not him. But we have to clarify the case, and let's pause. The Gemara says, so the way that I saw Mepharshim explain, if she's the owner of the premises, then he's got to move out. So it's going to come out like this, that everybody agrees, if he owns the premises, then she's got to move out. She owns the premises, he's got to move out. The issue is going to be, what if they... Well, or they both have, let's say, premises in the same chatzah, then who's going to move? So, Ibai Lahum, Aita Chatzir Shal Shneim Ma'u. So, Chatzir Shal Shneim, the way I saw the Mepharshim say, it is if they each own a premises in the same chatzah, and somebody's got to move out, who's going to move out? So, Ma'u. So, Tashima, so the Gemara is being a proof from the Braisa we just quoted a few lines earlier. So, the first line of the Braisa said that she has to move out, because of him. So why asking him, what's the case where she has to move out? If he's the owner of the premises, so pshita, then obviously she's got to move out. So the other choice is, if he's not the owner of the premises, she's the owner of the premises. But the Braisa says in the next phrase that if she's the owner of the premises, then he's got to move out. So is it not, by process of elimination, that the first phrase in the Braisa, it's talking about where they both have premises in the chatzer, and she's going to have to relocate. So the Gemara deflects that proof. Vilma the Agir Megar. Maybe the Braisa is only speaking about where they were leasing premises. So in Achinami, leasing is also an aggravation moving, but it's less of an aggravation than when you own the premises. And the Gemara thinks that maybe the woman only has to move out when she's leasing the premises, but if she owns the premises, we don't know. So Mayahavala, so what's the upshot with this? So Tashma, so the Gemara brings another proof. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, "Hinei Hashem metaltelcha taltela gader." Hashem is going to cause you to wander like the wanderings of a man. But Amar Rav, Rav says, "Taltela gader kashimi the itza." Like when a man wanders, it's more difficult than when a woman wanders. It's more difficult for the man, sort of be for blungeoned or go off than the woman. Well, what I saw is that people have more rachamim on a woman, they have mercy, they help her out more than the man. So that being the case, the Gemara is saying that she's the one who's going to have to move and he would stay put. Okay, so again, let's just review what we did. So we said in certain situations, people can't live near one another because we're afraid they're going to have relations. And the Gemara says that somebody has to move, who's got to move? So the Gemara says if she owns the premises, he's got to move. If he owns the premises, she's got to move. If they all both have premises in the same chatzer, then she's got to move. Okay, whose question comes close? Anything we did so far? Everybody good?
It seems like there was no such thing as co-ownership.
It could be even the joint ownership. Maybe the din would be the same thing. In other words, if they have two premises or they jointly, Lechora, I don't know if there was joint ownership, but even if they did jointly own it, Misama, she would have to go. That's what I think.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go further in the Gemara. Okay. I want to make sure I keep moving tonight because we ran out of time last night. I don't like to have just a minute or two with 10 lines to go. But if we're ahead of ourselves, then we'll allow more time for discussion. Okay. Now, 10 lines down in the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, Lavayi ben Abedech Se'avia, in Nefrad Eli De'Acher. So this Gemara is talking about a Kohen with his wife. And he's divorcing the wife. But let's say when they were married, he borrowed money And the Gemara takes it that she had assets because her father gave her assets. She said, Nisnei Nilug. So let's say he borrowed money from her and he now has to repay the debt. So when he repays the debt, he has to do with an intermediary. In other words, we're afraid that since they were married, you know, they could feel easily, like, you know, comfortable with one another again, even though maybe they threw some dishes and got divorced. But, you know, who knows what happens when they get together. So he's the debtor. So she's going to collect the debt. She has to collect the debt through an intermediary. She shouldn't be the one to deal with him directly. He says, Amar Rav Shesha, be out of the common Adina. Rav Shesha says, if the ex-husband and wife come to us for a din, in other words, she wants to sue him to get payment, and they're coming to both of them into Beis Din, we don't get involved with them. She's got to make a shliach, you know, to do the thing. So Rav Papa Amar, and then the way the Masifta said, this is adding on to what we said before, Rav Papa Amar, that we put them in Chayrem for coming together like that. He says, Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Amar, Nigude, and we have Nami, in Agdin Lehu, Bakhti said the word Nami, but the way the Masifta said, that in addition to that, we give the Malkot. So Amar Rav Nachman, Tana Be'evil Rapti. So Nachman says, we learn a Braisa in Evil Rapti. Evil Rapti is Masechet Samachot, and it's one of the Masechot Kitano that we have. And so he says, Tana Be'evil Rapti, Bava Murim Shinagarsham and Nisuin. It's only if she got divorced after Nisuin. In other words, they had been intimate with one another. Well, Shinagarsham and Erusin, but if she got divorced after Erusin, again, just we've done this 100 times, but just to repeat. So it was Manchas, how you do Erusin. You put the ring on the finger, and then they're not intimate with one another. She's living in her father's house. And then a year later, they do Nisuin. But let's say in the year, they had a fight. But now she needs a divorce. They get divorced. So the Gemara is saying, Rav Nachman saying, that Eva Rapti in the second Smacho, the Brisa says that it's a problem with her collecting directly from the ex-husband if they were divorced after Nisuin. But if they're divorced after Erusin, she can collect directly from him. He says, Avokshin and Garsham and Erusin in front of the Atzma, Shainly Bo Gaspa, because he doesn't feel so comfy with her. In other words, Gaspa, it's like there's a certain inhibition, you know, that men would have, you know, to having relations with a woman. But once you're married, then the inhibition is removed. And they were never married that way. So now the Gemara brings in, this is an incident that will relate to it. Ahu Arus Varusato, this is a Kohen and his wife. The Atul Kami Derava. So they had been ex Arusa and Arusato. And it was they got divorced after the Erusin, and it was a situation where he owed her money. She lent him money. Since the Atul came in the Rava, they came for Rav for din. So Yaakov Rabada Barmatna Kame. Rabada Barmatna was sitting in front of Rava when they came. Oki Rava Shucha Ben Atai. So Rava appointed Rabada Barmatna to be like a mediator between them. In other words, he's going to, you know, be the one, the go-between between the man and the woman. So Amalei Rav Ada Bar Matna, so Rav Ada Bar Matna said to Rava, Bar Rav Nachman, Tana Be'evil Rapti, Yechule, but Rav Nachman taught that the Braisa says an Evil Rapti, I only need an intermediary when they're divorced after Nisuin. These two were divorced after Erusin, so you don't need an intermediary now. So Amalei, so Rava said to him, Kachazin and Kagaisi Bahadade, like, we see that they look very familiar with each other. In other words, based on the way they're acting, they look, you know, chummy wummy. So I want an intermediary. Ikida Amri, others say that the conversation or the incident went down like this in the Lo'uki Rabbah Shlipin, not the Pumfa Kerik. Rabbah didn't establish an intermediary between the man and the woman. So Amri Rabbah Bar Matna, Nekim Mar Shlucha Ben Atai. When Rabbah Bar Matna said, I think you should appoint an intermediary. Amar Lay, in this version, Rabbi said to him, Amar of Nachman, Tanabe Rabti Ukulay. So Rabbi says, but they only need an intermediary if they've gone through Nisuin. They didn't do that. So Amar Lay, in this version, it's Rabbi Barmatna saying, that's only when they're not, you know, very familiar with each other. These two, we see, like, they look very chummy wummy. So I think we should have, like, an intermediary. Okay, let's just pause. Think what we did, and then move on and take questions, comments, and thoughts. So the idea, we've gotten to the issue of, you know, we want to keep a distance between a Kohen and his ex, you know, because the Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, so we've got to keep them separated from one another. So we learned this halacha that if the Kohen owes money to his ex and they're divorced, so they can't deal with each other directly. They have to have an intermediary to, you know, represent, you know, to be the go-between between them. And but then the Gemara quoted a brisa from Eva Rabti that's only if they went through Nisuin. If they didn't go through Nisuin, so it's Nishkeferlach, it doesn't make a difference. And then we had an incident where they didn't go through Nisuin, but they had an intermediary because they were acting very familiar with each other. And so that's it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, tell us on anything we did so far?
Then you have a party together, and the husband asks the wife, should I drive you home? It's run west.
All right, this is Rabbi Wolfen, you said? What's this person?
Rabbi.
Where was he, Rabbi?
What's the guy from
There's the famous guy that was upon Aaron, or Aaron Wolfen. Is he a descendant of his? I wonder.
His son was a rabbi right over here.
All right. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? Oh, why? All right. But that just says that why they could remain married, but like, it doesn't say why they remain married. All right. All right, so we're going on. Okay, so now we're up to the next Mishnah. Okay, so Chaf Chet Amin Aleph, 28a, we're around 6 lines above what gets wide. So, Manitin, Ve'elu Ne'emanim L'Hayi B'Golan Mashru B'Kotnan. Now, the following individuals can testify when they're adults based on what they saw when they were youngsters. So, let's say they observed something when they were 10 years old, now they're 20. They could testify. Normally, you can't do that, but there's an exceptional cases. He says, "Neman d'lamor zekitavi doshal abba." Let's say there's a star, and we want to be with time the star. The father's dead, and he was one of the eight of them on the star. I want to be with time the star. So a son, and maybe the father died when the son was 10, but now the son is 20. So the son could say, "That's my father's signature." He could do that. He says, "Zekitavi doshal rabbi," and or let's say it's his rebbe's signature on the star. He said that I recognize my Rebbe's signature. Zek tabi doshal achi, that's my brother's signature. Or zachor yiti beplonid sheetzah behinuma v'rosha parua. Or he can testify, and we had sort of this Gemara Mishnah earlier. In other words, there's an issue arising whether the woman was a betula or not at her marriage. And for some reason, they don't have the ksuba, whatever, but she's entitled to 200 zuz, she's a betula. He can say, I remember that at the wedding, she went out with a veil, and Rosha Parua, her hair was like stretched out to her shoulders, and that they would do if they were too low. V'sheya'ish ploni yotzei mibeit ha-sefer litbol lechol betruma. I also remember, these are different cases, obviously, I remember when I was in Cheder, there was, you know, one of the Talmidim, he went out to Tovel to immerse himself in the mikveh to eat truma, I guess, presumably that evening. But in other words, he's testifying to the that the person is a Kohen. V'shecholeki manu ala gorin. Or he could testify, remember, this person, that he would divide truma with us on the gorin. In other words, he's also a Kohen. The gorin is a granary. V'hamakoma ze beta pras. And there's a different testimony. He says, this location is beta pras, meaning, now there's different definitions of beta pras. One definition of beta pras is where there was a grave there and it got plowed over. So there's 100 amot in each direction that have become the din of beta pras, but he's going to demarcate where the beta pras is. We don't know exactly what the borders of the beta pras were. He's going to identify it. Va'ad kana yubayim b'shabbat, or he's going to say up till here is from Shabbos, and it means in the chinami they can measure, but they don't have to measure because he remembers, even though he saw this when he was a youngster. He says up till here is from Shabbos. There's somebody in the base medrash, the Rabbi Yoni Rabinovich. He was saying it's like a big tircha to measure. He says, "Aval ein adam neman lamar derech el ploni b'kol mazeh." Person is not neman to say that somebody had a right of way over in this field. or Mamad Umispeid or Omoshav, I got the plony book almost there. Now Mamad Omoshav was either according to Rashi when they're going to the cemetery, or in Chavkanam and Aleph, the second white line. So either when they're going to the cemetery or others when they're leaving the cemetery, they would stop in different locations and they stop the Aron and then sit down and stand up and have things to say. So he's not Ne'aman to say this is Mamad. In other words, if it's the place of the Mamad, it belongs to somebody else. It's not the field owner's Mamad. Because you see, he's Ne'aman to say, I remember when we were as youngster, we stopped in these places. Okay, so let's just bring Avram Elimelech up to date a little bit. So the Mishnah said on Chaf Chedem and Aleph, the second Mishnah, near the, where the wide lines begin downstairs, this, the Mishnah said that there are certain people, this is normally not, normally in Eidos you can't do this, but in certain exceptional cases, and we'll explain shortly why, that if a person observed it when he was a youngster, and now he's an adult, he can testify to the veracity of those items. Okay? All right, Avram Elimelech, you good? Okay, is that yes? You good? Okay. Okay, so let's take a look. Now, the first cases we did in the Mishnah were identifying the signature of whether his father, his Rebbe, or his brother. And there was a doing Kim Shtarot, and he says, so, Amar Rav Huna B'Rei Yeshua V'Ushish Gadol Imo. So the Rebbe Yeshua says, when we say that this former Katan can testify, it's provided he's not testifying alone, he has a Gadol, or somebody was an adult at the time. So he knows the father's signature, and he's going to testify together with this other person. So there's going to be two Edim. There's going to be two. So, but one, and they're both adults now, but one was a youngster when he saw whatever was doing. So the now, when we say B'Husheish Gadol Imo, it's only the first number of items in the Mishnah, which is the signatures and the status of the Betula. Those are the ones that need two Edim. We'll see in a minute. Butzricha. So it was necessary the Tana teach one of these cases. The Yashwin and Aviv, if he only taught that the person could identify his father's signature, Mishum Dishrich Gabei, I'd say, you know, he's so like frequently with the father, he saw the signature all the time. So Mela, he can testify to it. About Rabbo, lo, but his Rebbe, he can't testify to identify the Rebbe's signature. The Yashwin and Rabbo, and if the Tana will only teach me the case of his Rebbe, Mishum Dishrich Gabei, to the Rabbi, I'd say it's like ingrained in him. Because he had Yira from his Rebbe, you know, Mor Rabach to Mor Shlan Chazal, say. And today things have kind of gone, you know, off in a different direction. But the Mor Rabach to Mor Shemayim, like the Yira you have from your Rebbe, is like the Yira from Shemayim. So Mela, therefore, you know, definitely made an impression on him, his Rebbe's signature or handwriting. Aval Avi below, but it's father not. B'yashmin and Hani Tarti, and if he taught only those first two cases, I would have said, Aviv the Shchiach Kabeh, I say, could identify the father's signature because he sees it all the time. Bravo did lay Emate, and the Rebbe he's got Nira from. Avalachiv, late lay Loha, Loha, Imalo, but the brother, he's got neither one of those. I'd say that he can't do that. So Kamashwalan that he could. And then the Gemara explains, Kave and the Kim start Midrabanan, a new Rabbanan Midrabanan. In other words, the whole din on a din Torah. So Rashi, looks at the Rashi, brings this down, and you had it earlier in the Masechta anyway, though. If you look at around eight lines above where from the bottom, Rashi, Kim Sharmid Rabbanan, you mean derived from Loba Inan Kim. On a Torah level, you don't need to verify a star. He says, the Amar Reish Lakish, Edom HaChatum Al Shtar, Reish Lakish said earlier in our Masechta, if you have Edom that's on a star, Nasa Kimish Nechran Edom of Edom. This is if their testimony had already been cross examined in Bezdin. So the star on his face of it is Ne'manus. So, but the fact that we have a din of Kim Shtarot, that's only a din of Rabbanan, and there's a lot of Mefarshim that have other opinions for this, and we'll do this in a minute. So back in the Gemara, I came to Kim Shtarot and Rabbanan.
Can I ask a question before you go on to the next piece?
Wait three minutes. It says, came into Kim Shtarot and Rabbanan. Since the Kim Shtarot is Midrabanan, a new Rabbanan Midrabanan. So the Chachamim, in other words, Heim Amru v'Heim Amru. The Chachamim said, you only need the Kim Shtarot on a rabbinic level. And they said that we'll take one of the Edim's testimony to identify the signature, even though he was below bar mitzvah at the time that he saw the signature. Okay, then let's just one minute. I just want to read a little bit, then we'll be 1 second. Okay. Oh, here it is, yeah. Okay, so, all right. So, Minotaur, this is from the Al-Hadaf. the Rebbe Zev Dickstein. So in a Torah, a person may deliver testimony only events he observed when he was an adult. Testimony regarding something that a person observed as a minor is not admissible. That's the first episode. That's just to know that episode is you're three steps ahead of the game in halacha. Now the Mishnah lists a number of cases in which testimony is required only by rabbinic law. In these cases, the rabbis were lenient and agreed to accept testimony of an adult regarding something observed when one was minor. One such case relates to Kim Shtarot. So in other words, so it's going to be the Eidos, which is the Rabbanon. Oh, okay, wait a minute. So since the requirement to certify signatures is only due to rabbinic enactment, the rabbis were lenient and so forth. We did this already. Then Rashi quotes Rish Lakish, we did this. Now Tosfos maintains that if the borrower named the document can test the loan and claims the document was forged, signatures certainly requires certification by notary. In other words, Tosfos says if the veracity of the document is an issue, so Kim Shtar is not a Din D'Rabbanan, that's a Din D'Oraisa. So he says, he argues, Tosfos says, that if min haTorah signatures need not be validated, even in such a case, the door would be open for every swindler to forge loan documents to his heart's desire. So he says, hence Tosfos explains that the Gemara is referring to a case in which the borrower merely claimed parati. So in other words, the borrower admits there was a debt, but he said, I paid the debt. He says, rather than claim in such a case, you need to validate the document is only D'Rabbanan. In other words, typically the shtar is given back to Lova. So the Malva says, you pay me back, well, shtarcha, you know, biyadi mai bai. How come I have the shtar? So at which point the Lova says, I don't know, something like he questions the validity of the shtar, something like that. So then the Kim shtar would be a Din D'Rabbanan, according to Bali Tosfot. Alternatively, Rabbeinu Abigdor explains that when the borrower is not present in Bezdin, such as where he's deceased, and the creditor wishes to collect from his estate, then, in other words, the debtor is deceased, then the requirement to validate the document is only D'Rabbanan. In such a case, since there is no one contesting the document, certification is not required by the Torah. So that would be another case. In other words, the debtor is dead. So he says, rabbis require certification even in such a case because of a concern. Had the borrower been alive, perhaps he would have contested the document. In other words, Taninan Liyatomim. We're going to make Taninan on behalf of Liyatomim. So if the Lova had been alive, maybe he would have contested it. So if he would have contested it in Akanami, it would be a Din D'Oraisa. But he's not alive. So we're contesting on their behalf, but then it's a Din D'Rabbanan. The Or Zeruah disagrees and maintains that in all cases, even when the borrower claims the document is forged, Torah does not require validation of the signatures because there is an assumption, L'chatzah v'nish l'zayufi, a person would not have audacity to forge a document. In later generations, when people were more brazen and there were many swindlers who were not afraid to forge documents, sages required Kim Shtarot. So, all right, so that's what you have. Okay, so anyway, let me just summarize again. So the basic idea we learned is that, so far we're getting into it, that there are cases in which if Kiyum Shtarot is only a Din D'Rabbanan, whatever the case, the fact scenario is, so the Chum said, so under those circumstances, we can accept one of the Adim was a youngster at the time he observed the signature, so he can identify the signature. Okay, what do you have, Fern, or who?
Right. The fact that a female or a mother or a sister was not mentioned, was that a sociological fact about that women never sign documents, or is that a special case?
No, it's not
case?
Sociological. It's midin, and a woman can't be the aide on a document. Well, they aide us by women, or is
she be a signature on the document?
Signature on the document is aidus. It's just written aidus, but a woman can't sign the document. Just like the rice, you can't sign a ksuba. And there's just, there were some exceptional cases where we took the aegis of an isha, but by the death of a man or something like that. But generally, women cannot be the aidim. Okay.
So in the case where the Kohen owed her money that came from her milug, from her father, there was nothing with her signature on it. Is that correct?
That's right, because the shtar wouldn't have her signature on it.
Got it. Okay.
We got it. Go ahead.
That's the time when you hold
up. Yeah, so an aide, so Chazal teaches the aide has to be an adult, and the whole thing, he has to see the aide just when he's an adult and testify he's an adult. That's Min haTorah, but I think, I don't know if it's Vamdushning on Hashem or something like that, it might be learned from there, but Chazal teaches that way. Okay, I got to keep moving. Okay, what? Right, but he's an adult now, but he's saying, well, what's up? Okay, we got to keep moving. We only have 25 minutes left, so I have to pick up the pace a little bit. And then if we have more time, we'll pause a little bit more, okay? So let's see back on the Gemara. So now we're five lines from the bottom. So another case that the youngster, when he was youngster, when he observed it, can testify to, is that the woman is was a betula, the marriage, that when she went out with a veil and her rosha perua, the hair was like down to her shoulders. So my taima, why can he testify in that case? Came into Rav Nashim betulot nisaot, ilumi milta ba'almahu. Most women who get married are betulot. So his testimony is just confirming that which we know al pi rov. So that's therefore we can accept it. That's what he's saying. Okay, now the shaya ish ploni yotzei bit a sefer lekol lechol betruma. He can also testify that he remembers one of his chaverim left the cheder to be tovel to eat truma. That's to establish that he's like that this person is a kohen. B'dilma eved kohen hu. So maybe the person he observed, you know, going out from the cheder to be tovel to eat the truma was the eved of a kohen. So that's not going to be good that he could testify that he's a kohen. In Eved Kanani, belonging to a Kohen, Kani Truma. So the Gemara says, "Misayilei the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi." So this, the fact, our Mishnah would seem to buttress the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asuli Dam Shlamedid Avdo Torah. Yeshua ben Levi says a man is not allowed to teach Torah to his Eved Kanani. So the fact that he was in Cheder and Beit Sefer with somebody, and then that person was Tovel to Truma. So I don't have to be Choshesh that he was. An Eved of a Kohen, because an Eved of a Kohen wouldn't be in the Talmud Torah. That's okay. Now, since below, is that true? Bahatani, we learn another brisa. Lavai menu rabo. If the master borrowed money from the Eved, he said, well, so what is like Mashkin? So it could be, I saw in the Masechta, they quoted one opinion saying that if the master chose to borrow money from the Eved, in other words, whatever the Eved owns belongs to the master, or I thought you could always say, you know, that you can own money. You know, Amanacha in the Rabbo, like somebody can give him money on condition that the master doesn't have any rishus there, but you can come up with an attempt. Osha asa o Rabbo apotropos, or his master made him the administrator of an estate. Osha niyach tefillin mifnei Rabbo. He says, in other words, Rashi says apotropos, like he left him in charge of his property. In other words, to take care of it, you know, for business purposes. You're in charge of my estate. I'm alive, but you're taking care of the whole thing. Or if the slave put on tefillin in the presence of his master, and slaves usually don't put on tefillin because they're like the women, right? Or if he was called up to Aliyah in Shul, he the Eved, and he lay in three Pesukim in Shul, so even though each one of these things would make us think maybe he's freed, and that's why the master's borrowing from him, maybe he's freed, that's why he's putting on tefillin, that's why he's reading three Pesukim, but nevertheless, that's not enough to establish that he's a free man. But nevertheless, we see, so if he's not free, that means he could be learning from the Torah, even though he's an Eved. And we said, the Eved, you're not allowed to teach him Torah. So the Gemara says, Hatam de Ikri Eved Midaito. So the Eved is reading on his own, but that's one thing. Ki Kaim Rinan, the Kanai Bei Minag Banim. When we said, in other words, that he's in Beit Sefer, it means that a man can't, like, shouldn't put his Eved in yeshiva, like you shouldn't register the Eved in yeshiva, he's an Eved, that's not. And that's why the recollection that he remembered somebody going out to be told to be truma, he's certainly not an Eved, because nobody would do that with his Eved. Now, litbo lechol betruma, so he saw him being tovel to eat truma, betruma drabanan. So the Gemara adds on, we're talking about truma to drabanan level. In other words, the yisod is that the testimony of this person, that he saw when he was a youngster, is only going to be used permit things on a Rabbanan level. So he's testifying that he ate truma, and that's betruma drabanan. In other words, to permit him to eat truma on a drabanan level. He says, then I could believe him to eat it. And Rashi says, on the fourth wide line of Rashi, on truma chutz la'aretz, truma taken from outside of Eretz Israel. Apparently, there were places we saw earlier in Bava where they were taking truma, o perot, or fruits in Eretz Israel, in ninu lahani lachi lo alpiyim. So that's what they believed him for, but not to eat truma duraisa level. On line 6, Mashecholik Imanu Alagorin, or the person testifies, I remember that this fellow, he divided up truma with us at the Gorin. We all went to the granary together, and he got truma, and we got truma. He says, Vidilma Eved Kohenu, but the fact that he's receiving truma in the Gorin doesn't necessarily prove that the person is a Kohen. Maybe he's the Eved of a Kohen. The Eved of a Kohen could get truma, can eat truma. So Tanan Taman Damar, in Cholkin Truma LaEved. So our Mishnah is in accordance with the opinion that says that you don't give Truma to an Eved. And the reason you don't give Truma to Eved, the Gemara is going to explain, because once you give Truma to him, we'd be Mala LeYuchsen based on that. we would elevate him to say he's a genealogically pure Kohen if he gets Truma. So you don't give him Truma. He can eat it, just give, but he can't. We're not going to be cholek to him. So the Gemara says, Elim came Rabbi Wimo. Unless his master is with him, so then everybody's clear. Here's master, here's slave, fine. Now, the Tani, we learn in the Braisa, in Cholkin Truma la'Eved, we don't divide Truma to an Eved, Elim came Rabbi Wimo divra Rabbi Yehuda. Unless his master is with him, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yecholu Shiomar, in other words, according to Rabbi Yossi, the person can show up in the Goren and say, you know, you're not sure if I'm a Kohen, you're not sure if I'm an Eved or Kohen. Either way, give it to me either way. So if I'm an Eved, give it to my master, give it to me this way. Now, the Gemara explains the Tzadim. In Komosh Rabbi Yehuda, in the locality of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, you malin mitruma liyuchsin. In other words, if they saw somebody receiving truma, they would, you know, but they would, that testimony would be enough to elevate him to say that he's like, he's good, a genealogical pure Kohen. And therefore, we don't give Kohen, we don't give the truma to anybody who's not, you know, 100% Kohen. We're not going to give it to any Eved. The Mekomosh Rabbi Yossi, but in the locality of the town of Rabbi Yossi, lo yum malim the truma Yossi, they wouldn't do that. So fine, no harm, no foul. All right, let me pause. I did a lot, and we're making good progress. So let's just digest a little bit what we did. So the basic idea we're learning is that there are situations where a person could testify as to something he saw when he was below bar mitzvah, and even though now he is bar mitzvah, but it has to be where it's going to establish a din d'rabbanan. And in certain cases, he needs to have another person testifying with him. So the cases that he could testify to were to establish the signature, and then somebody was in yeshiva with him, and he to be tovalti truma, and then to testify somebody received truma. All right, and then, but even his testimony is only of an aid that the person can eat truma d'rabbanan. He can't eat, based on his testimony, he can't eat truma d'oraisa, if that's all you have. But for truma d'rabbanan, it'll be enough. Okay? All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
I did say that. No, I did.
I don't know what to say. Everything could always be forged. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Now, okay, so now we're around 20 lines above where it gets wide on Chafetim Beis. Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Amir Blazar Reb Yossi. Reb Blazar Reb Yossi said, Niamai lo yadati, I never gave edus that somebody, you know, as to the bona fides of a Kohen. Hamachar yadati, once I did give such edus. The Halu Eved Lakun Alpi, and based on my Eidos, they ended up taking an Eved and making him a Kohen. So Halu Salkadaita, they did that. Would I think that thing? Hashtuma Behentin Shel Tzadikim and a Kadosh Baruch Hu Bitakala Yadam. The behemoth of Tzadikim, a Kadosh Baruch Hu prevents them from, you know, bringing Takala. So he says, we'll talk in a minute. And so he says, Tzadikim Atzma Lo Koshkein, telling Tzadikim themselves. So Rashi brings down, look at Rashi. So in the beginning of Masechet Kulin, it says that the donkey of Reb Pinchas ben Yair said he wouldn't even eat the tevua that Maasrod hadn't been taken from. In other words, you'd only, even though Apshalacha, the donkey could, the donkey wouldn't eat it. So the Gemara says that the behemoth of Tzadikim, a Kaddish Bar, who watches, they don't eat Maachal the Isura. So the Tzadikim themselves certainly would be that case. It's interesting. So here it's also talking about ma'achalot. In other words, that his testimony would cause somebody else to eat something that would be prohibited to them. So the Gemara says, so Ella b'kshu la'alot eved lakuna alpi. Not that they did elevate, that they wanted to. They nearly elevated somebody based on my testimony. They nearly elevated him to the status of a kohen. Chaza ba'atri de Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara explains that Reb Lazar Reb Yossi, he saw somebody receiving truma in the locality of Rabbi Yossi. So locality of Rabbi Yossi, they would give Truma to Avadim. He says, Ba'azal Ba'asi Ba'atu Rabbi Yehuda. And then he gave his Eidos in the locality of Rabbi Yehuda. In locality of Rabbi Yehuda, so there, they, if you get the Truma, they say you're a bona fide Kohen. So apparently the Beis Din they was testifying, you know, weren't attentive at first to that, and they nearly elevated somebody to be a Kohen until they sorted the whole thing out. And that was what we're saying. Okay. No. We're saying that the Kadosh Baruch Hu protects them. Well, he protects them that they won't. Well, you know, there's a piece of Torah on this. All right, let me. I spoke this out in the past. Maybe you remember. There's the main sugya is in Shabbos. Remember with Rabbi Ishmael. So remember the Gemara says like, a person should read by a candle on Friday night, and according to one who came to the Gemara, so Rabbi Ishmael tilted the candle and did malach on Shabbos. And he wrote in his book, you know, when the base of Mikdash is rebuilt, I'll have to make a katat shmina, fat fatad. So Tosfos asks over there, how could that have happened? The Gemara says that if Hashem watches the behemoth of tzaddikim, Kavah Komi is going to watch the tzaddikim themselves. The Tosfos says it's only by ma'achalot asurot. In other words, by ma'achal achilat isura. So Hashem will watch them that they won't eat like anything treif, you know, like the, so to speak. This was not eating treifus. Then there's a little bit of a twist on this, which Rabbi Akiva Eger brings up. Okay, one second. So Rabbi Akiva Eger is like this. So in the Ari, it's brought down that a person is Nizhar from a Mashuv Chametz, that he's Muftaklo, that he won't sin the whole year. In other words, if he's careful, you know, on Pesach. Please, just 1 minute, one second. Okay, so if a person is Nizhar for Mashuv Chametz, so then he's assured that he won't sin the whole year. Won't sin, S-I-N, won't do any Aveiro. So the question is, this question was posed to Rabbi Akiva Eger when he was a youngster. So Mela, if Tzaddikim presumably, it was Rabbi Shmuel presumably didn't eat a Mashuv Chametz. So if he didn't, right, now you got it. So if he doesn't eat a Mashuv Chametz, so then he's not going to sin the whole year. And Tosel says that Hashem watches the tzaddikim. They're not going to, in other words, Tosel says that Hashem watches the tzaddikim. They won't have ma'akalot asurot. So Rabbi Shmuel is a tzaddik. So Hashem is watching him. He's not going to have ma'akalot asurot. So he's not going to have a mashuv chametz. So he's not having a mashuv chametz. Then he's going to sin. So how did he tip the thing? So Rabbi Akiva Eger said when he was younger, I think he was like 6 years old when he said this. He said that the Tosfos is mandish, it has to be achila di yisura. Now, achila is like a kazayas. In other words, Hashem will watch that he won't even have a kazayas in yisura. That they have less than a kazayas, then they're on their own. They could. In other words, Hashem will guard them. They won't have more than a kazayas, which is a shear. Okay, I have to move on. Please excuse me. If I have time, I'll come to you at the end, Aaron Moshe. Okay, let's just wrap up the Gemara. Okay, now. Let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, now we're at the two dots. We're eight lines above where it gets wide. Okay, 1 second. So the Gemara says, "V'shamakom is a beta prasu." So he could testify that this location was a beta pras, and the key is he's showing us what the borders are the beta pras. So and Rashi says with the beta pras, he says is mea ama. I think it means in each all directions. So he says here, so my taima, back in the Gemara, beta pras de rabbanan. In other words, the din of beta pras is a din de rabbanan, and therefore he could testify to it. The amar of Yudah Mar Shmuel, menapeach adam beta pras v'holeich, that a person can blow, in other words, we're afraid that there are small pieces of bone there. So if he touches the bone or he moves the bone, he'll be tame. So if let's say he's got to bring the korban pesach, so he'll blow, and then he can cross through the field. Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami mishmei the Rabbi Yehuda Amar beta pras sheni dash tahor. If it was stamped on many times by lots of people, it's tahor because then the etzem is not the size of a sora. So my taima yivshal the etzem kisora sheni dash beregel. But the idea being, if the din of beta pras is din deraisa, so then tum v'shus harabim is fake tahor. Then it wouldn't be even a chashash of tuma. In other words, if it was a chashash of tum on a derice level. So we proved that the din of beta pras, I don't know if I touched anything with that. So then that would be Torah. But the fact that he's saying that there's a way to bimitire it, so that proves that it's a din derabanan. Okay, now, three lines above where it gets wide. Ba'akana yunit kubayim b'shabbat. Up till here, we would walk on Shabbos, in the tchum Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're limited to 2,000 amot outside the city. So he can identify, like, up till this tree is where we walk on Shabbos. So Kesavar Tchumin Drabanan. He holds that Zidin Tchumin is Din Drabanan, and we know Rabbi Kiva holds their Din Daraisa, but then they can do it. But he's not Naaman to say that Reuven had a right of way through Shimon's field. He's not Naaman to say that Reuven had the right to put his mate down and to rest here or whatever like that. So my time, why not there? Apuki Mamon the Mafkinon, because there, then that's a din where he's Motzi Mamon. To be Motzi Mamon, I need two kosher edim from the get-go. Now, for these dinim, you just need his testimony alone. I mean, the last two, not at all, but the later things, so that's not good. So Tana Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Neman Atino Klomar, Kachamar Liaba, Mishpachazu Torah, Mishpachazu Tamea. Atino, a child, is Neman to say, I assume it means when he became an adult. Yeah, when he's an adult, Rashi says. So in other words, he was, let's say, you know, 8 years old, but he's Neman to say, when I was eight, my father said, this Mishpacha is Torah, in the Mishpacha Zu Tamea. So the Gemara says, Torah Tamea Salkadai, does that make sense? Like, Torah means then no tumah, yes tumah. Ela Mishpacha Zu Kshera, Mishpacha Zu Ksula. That this Mishpacha is tainted, and this one is not. Meaning, so the way the arts will say that, like, there's like, a rumor or whatever going around that there's like some invalidity in this family. And then the child, now he's an adult, is then I'd say, my father said, this part of the family was kosher, this part of the family was trey. The kasher psula. V'shechalu v'ksatza shabat ploni l'ploni. And we ate ketsatza, and the Gemara will explain when this marriage took place. It means that the Gemara is going to explain that with the marriage of a pasul person, they would have this ceremony that they would do. So he's an adult now. He said, when I was a youngster, I remember we ate this ketsatza there, and we'll explain in a minute what it is, that there's some problem with this marriage. And I remember that we would give chala, like it means hafrashas chala, and matanot is the zro l'chayayim akeva to the ex who's a kohen. Meaning, I remember my father would give matanot to him, but not my father would give it to somebody else who would give it to him. That's too far removed. The kulan, and we'll have to clarify which case this line is talking about in the Braisa. Imaya obey kochavim in a gayer. Let's say a different case. He was a non-Jew at the time he witnessed something and then he converted. Eved v'nishtachrer, or he was an Eved Kanani, and then he was freed, and now he's Jew. Ein ne'amanim, they're not ne'amanim. He says, v'ein ne'aman lomar, derech, okay, so that's it. Now, v'ein ne'aman lomar, derech l'plonim makom hazeh, ma'amadu mespeh l'plonim makom hazeh. So again, the Braisa says the same thing we had in the Mishnah. He's not ne'aman to say that there was that this person had an easement over somebody's property, or, you know, right away across somebody's property, or a mom on a mispay, like a place where they would plant themselves or, you know, stand and sit during coming from the funeral. He says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka omer ne'amanim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says they are ne'amanim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, hey. So when Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says they are ne'amanim, which case is he referring to? Ilema Seifa, if he's talking about the Seifa case, in other words, Seifa case says, if somebody was a non-Jew, somebody was an Eved, and he's freed, so they're not Naaman to say that somebody had a right of way where somebody had this location to stand and sit during the funeral. And then Rabbi Yochanan says they are Naamanim. So if he's talking about the last halacha in the Braisa, he says, Apuki Mamonahu. That can't be, because then he'd be Motzi Mamo. In other words, if somebody's got a right of way, so I'm removing like a monetary interest from Reuven and giving it to Shimon, and the same thing with the other one. And it can't be that this type of edus would be used in any way to be motzi mamon. In other words, it's only din for din drabanan. Ela Aresha says it's talking about the Resha case, meaning the goy could say that, you know, I guess he remembers when his master gave matanos to X who was a kohen, something like that. The kulam imayav veikul chavin regayer eved v'nish takrer ein ne'amanim Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka mer ne'amanim. Okay, so now the Gemara quotes the Braisa again. So this machloket, whether the goy or the eved that's freed have ne'amanos. So, but my kimiplagi, what's the point of dispute between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? Tanakama sabar came into a kuchavim hu lo hava daif. So the Tanakama holds, since he was a goy when he observed whatever he needed to observe, like somebody giving truma, things like that, he's not going to be so exact. You know, he's out of the parsha. So, you know, in other words, we're talking about this different than this trial case. In other words, he was an adult, but he's testifying. I remember my master, you know, would give truma to X or something like that. But he's a goy. He's not going to pay attention, according to the Tanakhama. Rav Yochanan Broch Savar came into Dati Dagura and made the Chabadai. Yochanan Broch holds, since he intended to convert, so then at some point he intended to convert, so Mela, then he would be Medayik with it. So, and then you have to also say with Ebed Shinishtakrer that they say that the Ebed overheard the master saying that they were going to free him, and now he's paying more attention to things. Now, the Gemara says, my Kitsata, we said that among the Edus that the child could testify to, he says, I remember we ate a Kitsata at the marriage of this man and this woman. So what's Kitsata? Tanu Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, Ketsa Kitsata, Echad Men Achim, Shasa Isha Sheno Genetlo. It means a man married a woman that's not appropriate for him. Either it's a Chashash Mam Zerus or something like that, or it means a Kohen is marrying a woman who's a Chashash Chalala or something like that. In other words, right. So he says here, Bayin b'nei mishpacha, so the members of the family come, Mavin Chavit Malaya Peirot, they bring a barrel filled with fruit, Vishovrinotab Emsarachava, and they break the barrel in the square in the city, Va'omrim, and they say, and the Marsha says it's a barrel filled with fruit, so the youngsters will remember this, they'll eat the fruit and they'll remember for years later. Va'omrim, Achenu Beit Yisrael, they make a public announcement. You know, our brothers, our brethren, the Jewish people, Shemu, Achinu Ploni, Nasa Isha Sheino Genelo. Our brother Reuven just married this woman who is poison. He says, we're concerned that somehow the progeny will get mixed up with us or something like that. And he either he's a Kohen, he married like the Chalala, or else it's Mamzerus. So take a specimen. Take some of the fruit. So you remember that, you know, this is the Trey family. That's the Ktatza that the child is believed. Okay, Hadralacha Isha Shintarmala. Okay, one second. Let me just, one second. I wanted to see, but honestly, there's someone said I want to get this straight. One second. Right. So, in the case of the Truma, the Beta Pras, and Tchum, only a single witness is necessary for that. Okay. In other words, in the beginning cases in the Mishnah, we need two witnesses, one an adult throughout and one child get older. The last cases about Truma, Beta Pras, and there was one other one. So there, he alone can testify. His Edus is enough by itself. Okay. It was a very interesting story here. And the last line of the story got cut out. I want to do the story. Aaron Moshe, I know you've been patient. Is this more than 15 seconds, Aaron Moshe? What do you got? I can't hear you. Unmute yourself. You're muted. Unmute. I can't hear a word you're saying. Unmute.
Okay, now do you hear me?
I do. Go.
Oh, then there was there's the famous story with the Vilna Gaon, where he was in the shtot, where something a woman had a child, whether something was kosher or not, for the Suda Shabbat. So she came to the roof, and the roof paskin that was kosher, and she came to the Vilna Gaon after the Vilna Gaon paskin wasn't kosher. And when he found out that the roof of the shtot, he says respect for the roof of the shtot, that then you have to go according to the psak of the roof of the shtot. They were both invited to that night's Suda. Because to see if, you know, they wouldn't need it unless the Vilna Gaon would come too. So he went to the Suda, the roof went to the Suda, and something fell, and the Baruch Shalom held the candle, fell into the food, and nobody was able to eat it.
All right. Okay, one second. Larry, if nobody's coming in, please put on a towel to get ready to daven. Okay, now, all right, I don't have time for the story. Okay, nice having everybody. Let me see the recording. One second.